text for tonight will be verses 18 and 19.
This will just be the first of a few messages about Christian relationships. And the title for tonight is Christian Relationships, Husbands and Wives. Colossians 3, 18 and 19. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about Christian relationships, and in particular, husbands and wives. So the first thing we would want to ask ourselves is this: what is a relationship? There's a few different definitions that I have that will help us make sense of it, and we all basically understand what a relationship is, but here comes a few. The way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. Second definition, the state of being connected by blood or marriage. And another definition, the way in which two or more people or organizations regard and behave toward each other. And we can make sense of that. You know, if we're here tonight with a husband or a wife or a father and a son or anything like that, we understand that that would be like a family relationship would be a blood relationship. My wife is sitting in the crowd right now. She, you know, is the relationship I have with her is through marriage. And there's a bunch of different relationships you can mention. You know, one relationship, you know, parents and children, that would be sort of like a general kind of relationship. You can get more specific between a father and a son and a father and a daughter. And if you take those two relationships, the dynamics involved in those two relationships right there are just completely different. So you have specific relationships, and even the relationships between a father and a son and a father and a daughter are two completely different relationships. But then you can also have two different relationships even if you had two different daughters. Like, I have three daughters now, and the relationships I have with them are three different relationships. But they're all my daughter. So in some ways there's similarities, but in a lot of ways there's differences. You have a relationship between a mother and a son, and a mother and a daughter. And I can't speak as much on those relationships, but I can see the dynamics that happen between my wife and our children, and also the relationship between my mom and me and my brothers, and all the different headaches we cause her, or my dad, as far as that's concerned. So you have mother-son, mother-daughter, and you have siblings in general. You can see the way siblings interact with each other, the relationship my son has with his sisters, or the relationship that one of my daughters may have with him, or her other sisters, anything like that. You can see there's a lot of different things going on there. So brother-brother, brother-sister, sister-sister. But if you go outside the family relationship, you have something like a boss and an employee. So what is the relationship there? It's obviously an employment kind of relationship, and there's authority there, and there's either a lack of authority or more authority. Like, the boss has authority over the employee. And in my specific instance, I have several bosses, and I also have several subordinates. So I know what it's like for that relationship to go both ways. And I know the ins and outs of the relationship between me and my boss or bosses. And I also know the ins and outs of the relationship between me and my subordinates. And I also can see that they pay attention to the ins and outs of their relationship with me as well. You also have a landlord-tenant relationship. And then another one that we can definitely grasp onto is citizens with the government. So we have a relationship with the government as well. Now, all of these different relationships, of course, are obvious, but none of these relationships would exist if it wasn't for the first relationship of a husband and a wife. All relationships branch off from them as far as a physical relationship is concerned. If it wasn't for Adam and Eve, there would be no other relationships. There would be no other things going on as far as we can relate to just as people. Now, obviously, there is the relationship between God and man. God created man, and then God created woman from man. So we see that there's a relationship there. And obviously, tonight, as I've already said, we're going to be talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife. But also, before we go on any further, one of the things that it's easy to see, especially in our world, is that the dynamics are changed, and the dynamics in relationships are messed up because of sin. You can see the effects of sin on many relationships. You can see Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and we feel the effects of the change in that relationship even today. Every single person born into the world now feels the effects of that relationship. Cain killed Abel, and then we also have the relationship between God and everyone except eight people in the world when God flooded the earth. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. There's a bunch of relationships gone wrong there. David, Bathsheba, Uriah, you see the relationship dynamics that happened there. Because of sin, David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then David had Uriah the Hittite killed. And just as far as general terms go, because of sin, husbands beat wives, and sometimes I guess wives beat husbands. You see aborted babies because man has lost the essential values of life. So man with babies, you see abortions happening every day, and there's thousands and thousands of them every day. Hatred towards God. So we see when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, what we were before we were saved. We were haters of God, and that's what Romans 1 talks about. And then we also see the one that's really the most hard to understand. You see God's mercy towards us. That relationship that God has with sinners is one that's very hard to understand, but yet we accept it because we need his love. We need his forgiveness. We need his mercy. So the relationship that God has with evil people is an astonishing relationship. In Colossians 3:18 through 4:1, you see three different relationships that are mentioned. Husbands and wives, parents and children, and then you have masters and bondservants or slaves. And again, as I was mentioning earlier, you have relationships that are messed up by sin. So those would be, you know, you could term those as worldly relationships. But what you see in Colossians 3:18 through 4:1 are relationships that have been changed and affected by the power of the Holy Spirit, by those who have been saved. And that's who Paul is talking to when he writes this letter. He's talking to Christians in the church of Colossae, saying, okay, husbands and wives. But not just husbands and wives. He's addressing Christian husbands and wives. And he's addressing Christian parents and children and Christian masters and bondservants or slaves. And that's one of the things that we see, that all of these relationships are centered on the Lord. And in Colossians 3:18, you see the mention of that. It says, as it is fitting in the Lord. And that was in relationship, or in the husband and wife relationship. And then if you go on to Colossians 3:20, another phrase, for this pleases the Lord. Colossians 3:22, fearing the Lord. Colossians 4:1, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So there is a definite reference there to Christianity. This is not just for anybody. This is for, okay, look, I'm talking to people who love Christ. I'm talking to people who have experienced salvation, people who understand that relationships are supposed to be a certain way, not necessarily the way that you're living in them right now. And it goes on, if you want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, it says, out of reverence for Christ. And all these relationships you see in Ephesians 5 are directly correlated to the ones that are in Colossians chapter 3 and in the very beginning of Colossians chapter 4. They're actually even listed in the same manner as far as order, and then even going from lesser authority to greater authority. They all reflect the same thing. Ephesians 5:22 says, as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:24, as the church submits to Christ. Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6:5, obey your earthly masters as you would Christ. And there actually are some more of those in Ephesians chapter 5. But you get the picture. What's the point? Relationships that would be pleasing to the Lord. So that's what we're starting with tonight. So husbands and wives tonight, and one of the things we have to really truly see and understand that there is a clear distinction, because when you look at, you know, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, the words for husbands and wives typically are the same thing as male and female. And the thing that really will differentiate between just a male and a female and a husband and a wife is there's a possessive usually that's involved there. It says one's own husband, one's own wife, or the wife of so-and-so, or the husband of so-and-so. So you see it, and what it really says is the man of so-and-so or the woman of so-and-so. So you get all these different examples. But the point, one of the points I'm trying to make is there's a very clear distinction. Male and female. It's not talking about male and male. There is no advice from God to two men married. There's no advice from God to two females married except to repent and turn away from your sin. So he's talking specifically to husbands and wives, clear distinction between male and female. In Genesis 2, verses 21 through 23, it says this, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And one of the things that you'll see, even, you know, typically if you read the footnotes in your Bible, man in Hebrew is ish and woman is isha. So it's very similar. So it's out of man is what woman is. And then it goes on to say in Genesis 2:24, and this is the relationship. This is what marriage is. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. No one flesh union between two men, no one flesh union between two women. There is no marriage as far as the same gender goes, and you can't even be classified as that. And again, if you want to try to be biblical about this, there is no advice to a homosexual couple in the Bible. There is no advice to a homosexual couple anywhere in Scripture. Like I said before, except to turn away from sin. So distinctions between genders is very plain. Distinction in the relationship, husband and wife. The other thing that is also distinct is the roles. As I sort of mentioned that earlier, the relationships that are listed in, whether it's Ephesians or Colossians, you see it go from wife to husband, or you see it go from children to parents, or you see it to go from bondservants or slaves to masters, and you see a lesser authority to the greater. Now, the one thing I do want to make clear is it doesn't mean that a wife is inferior to her husband. It doesn't mean that a child is inferior to the parent. It doesn't mean that the slave is inferior to the master, because all people, whether it's a man or a woman, are all made in the image of God. We are all equal as far as people goes. But God has designed certain roles. He has designed certain authorities to be put in place. And that is what we see. We see the distinct roles. We see the distinct purposes. And you see the differences also between a man and a woman. You see that God didn't make woman the same as man. Women are not strong like men are, as far as most situations go. They're just different. They act different. They talk different. They walk different. Everything about a woman is different from a man, and that's the way God intended it to be. So again, tonight, husbands and wives, clear distinction. And we also have the definition of the relationship all the way going all the way back to creation, before the fall of man, is where marriage begins as a husband and a wife. Okay, so now, basic outline for tonight, just wives and husbands. That's pretty much it. Wives are mentioned first, so that's what I'm going to talk about first. So what is a wife? And then we go back to the definition that I already read. It's Eve is the first wife. And then Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 gives us a good definition. So if you like to, you can turn over to Proverbs 31. I'm going to be reading starting from verse 10. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed or blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Just a couple of things to see about how God sees a wife. You know, obviously in this definition, you see a wife or a woman who's treated with dignity, a wife who is spoken well of by her husband. And we're going to talk more about that later when I talk about husbands. But you know, the way it starts, it says an excellent wife who can find. Well, I know I have one. So anyway, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and she will have no lack of gain. So there's integrity there. There's strength there. There's trust there. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So a loving wife is not going to try to sabotage her husband. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. I mean, the things that you see here is this is a woman who's strong. She works hard. She's not just helpless. The different ways that society will sometimes treat women, you see it's like almost as like poor, incompetent little creatures, but they're not that. They're not even close to that. But the ways that we should see it are the ways that the scripture defines what a woman is or what a wife is. I mean, even in verse 23, it says her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And to me, what this says is like her husband is known because of her, because of the things that she does. And her husband is known because he is speaking well of her. And again, we'll get more into that in the future. And then obviously this, I mean, to me, this would seem like an ideal or, you know, something for women to drive at. And I definitely wouldn't say that all of those things are something that a wife could accomplish all, like in every single phase of life. I mean, and maybe it is. Maybe I'm misspeaking when I say that. I'm not really quite sure because my wife takes care of four little kids. And for her to be able to do all of these things while she takes care of four little kids all at the same time, to me, this is like a whole life picture. And like I said, I'm not sure if I'm completely accurate about that part, but it gives wives, it gives women something to strive for. It gives you a goal to try to hit. And obviously, you know, there's going to be grace. There's going to be mercy involved in trying to hit that mark. But that is what a wife is. It's not something like, you know, some of these details that I'm going to get into where a husband just destroys her, you know, or a husband belittles her or anything like that. That's not what a woman or a wife is. It's not what she should be treated like. Titus 2 verses 4 and 5 also says this, as older women are to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And that love that it's talking about is talking about an affectionate kind of love. The same way a mom is affectionate towards her children, she's also supposed to be affectionate towards her husband. It's not just doing things just out of, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to get it done, and I don't care what he feels like. It's like, no, you're supposed to be affectionate to your husband. Self-control. This is not just a layer of self-control or an attribute of self-control that just is defined by a wife just doing something in a mild-mannered kind of way. This is a self-control controlled by God's principles. The wife is doing things on purpose because that's what God wants her to do. That's what the self-control is governed by God. Pure to the core, chaste, unadulterated, undefiled by sin. Working at home, and this the literal definition here is taking care of household affairs or keeping house. And one of the things that's what I do see. Like I see all the different things that my wife does, and I'm not trying to paint out my wife as the ideal. I love her dearly, and she does so much stuff. I can't even imagine all the different things that she does compared to what I do at work. I feel like I work hard, but I feel like she will put me to shame in the amount of work that she has to do compared to what I do at work. But anyway, as far as, you know, keeping the house, taking care of household affairs, she has to feed the children. Four little mouths she has to feed. She takes them to school and back. Different things like that she's got all sorts of stuff going on, and she has to deal with question after question after question after question. I mean all these things, but you know what? She loves it. I know there's moments of frustration, but I know that she loves it. I know by the way my children act towards her that they're not afraid to ask the questions, that they're not afraid to be near to her, they're not afraid to do these things, because that's the way I feel like that, you know, scripture not just describes as how God built women, but it's the way that she acts towards them. I know she loves our kids. And you know, as far as working at home, all the different things that she does, keeping house, and I know that can mean different things to different people, you know, that people have different circumstances, but this is what the Word of God says. Kind, and submissive to their own husbands. And as far as submissive goes, it's you placing yourself under the authority of your husband. It doesn't mean inferiority, like I already said before. This is a voluntary kind of submission where you are equal, but you still, because of what the Word of God says, are choosing to place yourself under the submission of your husband. And it says that the Word of God may not be reviled. Okay, so what does a wife do? And in verse 18 it says, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And again, to submit means to subject oneself to. And you can, another little phrase you could use to talk about this is equal but submissive. Voluntary but still commanded, if that makes any sense. And one of the things that you will see as far as this goes, because it says as it is fitting in the Lord, the same way that somebody becomes submissive to Christ as a Christian, once upon a time you weren't submissive to Christ, and if you're a believer now and you follow Jesus, now you are submissive to Christ because it's fitting. It's not just because you're supposed to, but also you love to. You love to be submissive to Christ because He is your Lord, and you come to the knowledge of that truth. He is your God. And there's a parallel here as far as wives and husbands and Jesus Christ and the church. The church is submissive to Christ because He is the head of the church, and wives are submissive to their husbands in that same kind of way, as it is fitting. Because you call yourself a believer, your role, your job is to be submissive to your husband. And we're going to get into the roles of husbands, and I know it's easy to be like, okay, the husband's just going to throw his authority around like it's his job and not actually fulfill his duty. That's not what I'm talking about, so we're going to get to that in a little while. Okay, so submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, it mirrors this, but with more details. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Submit in everything to their husbands. And again, this is a hard thing, especially in a culture today that we find where, you know, women just don't want to submit. Whether it's, you know, a husband or in a job or anything like that. And I'm not saying that a woman can't be the boss somewhere. I'm just saying that there's an attitude out there that we see where it's like, I'm woman, hear me roar. I'm not going to submit to man. I'm going to throw my weight around as I see fit and do what I want to do. But we see that the Word of God says, okay, look, this is the way you're supposed to be, especially in the wife-husband relationship. You are supposed to be submissive to your husband. Sort of in a voluntary way, but in a commanded kind of way. Luke 2:51, it says, you know, Jesus submitted to his parents. And then Romans chapter 13, it is necessary submission to governing authorities. That's for everybody. Every single person has a necessary submission to the governing authorities. Now, the other thing that we have to talk about, too, as far as submission goes, it's not just a blanket submission. You don't submit when he tells you to do something wrong. You don't submit to sin. In the same way as citizens don't submit to governing authorities when they want us to go against our Christian beliefs. We don't do that. So the same way, submission in some ways is kind of like obedience. It's not just blanket obedience. It's not that you have to just say, okay, you said it, I do it. No, you're a Christian woman. If this relates to you, and you're a Christian woman, you would say, okay, look, is what my husband is telling me to do, is he telling me to go against God's standards? Is he telling me to go against God's principles? And if he's telling you that, you can say no. And I think the Lord would expect you to do so. Now, some of the cultural issues at the time that might lend some sympathy to the people at the time reading this letter, they might, you know, you like, basically what I'm getting is you would be sympathetic to them because of the ways that they were treated back in that time. Women were basically, they were seen as inferior. They were treated as inferior. If you read Kittle, some of the sayings, there's many different sayings, but basically they all say the same thing. Whether it's Persians, Greeks, or Jewish, or the Jewish culture, they all have a saying that basically comes around the same thing. It says, man gave thanks that he was not an unbeliever, uncivilized, a woman, or a slave. So the way they saw women was completely beneath a man. And obviously we see, based on what Proverbs 31 says, that's not the way that we should see a woman. And even the other definitions in the New Testament, that's not the ways that we should see a woman. Sometimes they were even kept in separate rooms, guarded by dogs. And that was more in the, I'm trying to remember which one that was, I think in the Athenian culture. Roman culture, they had a little bit better treatment. They could actually roam about freely instead of being kept in a room. They actually, the title of a housewife was actually a very good title to have. But also, as far as marriage was concerned, the women were trying to be monogamous. But the man basically had, it was almost like a free-for-all in a lot of situations. So as far as marriage goes and the way that women were treated in marriage, as far as the inequality is concerned, the marriage ranged from monogamous to polygamous. And even in the polygamous marriages, I mean, that ranged from multiple wives to concubines, harlots, and slaves. And even in a monogamous relationship, it was acceptable sometimes for them to engage in relations with harlots. So women at the time were probably already like down and out as far as their attitude would go. So when they would first read, as a Christian, be submissive to your husband, they would probably be like, oh man, I thought I was going to get out of this. You know? But like I said, husbands, even though they have the authority, they have so much more responsibility. And that's like something we're going to see more of. So we have cultural issues then that would have a lot of effect on what they would have heard. And even, you know, it's as far as Judaism goes, you would think Judaism would be based on the Bible. And in a lot of situations, Judaism was not even close to being based on the Bible. Sometimes Jewish women were just forbidden to speak, even in their own homes. They couldn't teach their children at the dinner table. They had to sit behind a screen in the synagogue. They could be divorced. Now, if you're in the conservative school, this conservative rabbinic school, you could be divorced if you were an adulterer, which is, you know, that's somewhat understandable. But in the more liberal school, you could be divorced if you were barren, or if someone more beautiful came along, or if your food was salted improperly. So women were just completely, in a way, thrown by the wayside. It's basically whatever the man says goes, and there was just no respect. There was no dignity applied to the women back then. Like I said, whether it was a worldly religion or even the language of God's people, the Jews, and they had more of their own writings than they had scriptures, and they went along with those more often. Okay, so culture issues now. So you go from where women were treated as completely inferior to now the women want to treat the man as completely inferior. Now you have the women as the leaders in the home. And, you know, even in the church, the women will say, oh, I'm the leader in my home. It's like, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with having wisdom. There's nothing wrong with being smart. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea. But God has established the man to be the head of the household. God has established him to be the authority in the home. But that is all going, even within, you have to say the church at large, but you can't really say the Christian church. It's going by the wayside. And then even in the church, you have, you know, female pastors. So all of these different things, you have the culture and the sin that invades these relationships. This is where you start to see the downfall. And you have very specific verses from the Apostle Paul. And these verses are seen now as completely outdated. They're seen as wrong. They're just seen as, you know, like I said, they have no application today. And one of the things I heard on the radio the other day, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a pastor named Rob Bell. He used to be, I think, considered in evangelical circles, but he's not anymore. But basically went on the Oprah Winfrey show and said that if the church doesn't embrace homosexual marriage, then they're just going to be completely irrelevant. And it's like, well, that's not the church that would be embracing a homosexual marriage. But anyway, moving on. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." And then 1 Corinthians 14:33-35 says, "As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." And then 1 Timothy 2:11-14, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in the faith and love and holiness with self-control. And that goes again over some of the things we've already talked about. And reminds us again of the end of verse 18 where it says, as is fitting in the Lord, if you're continuing in the faith, in love and holiness with self-control, quietly with all submissiveness. And that, I mean, that's a very particular application, you know, in the church. You don't have to be quiet with all submissiveness in the home. It does command you to be submissive to your husband in the home, but you have, you know, free range to talk to your husband. So, and again, as far as the submission, you know, this became fitting. Maybe it wasn't fitting for you at one time. If you're a Christian woman, you love the Word of God, it has become fitting for you now. And again, I just want to say one more time, this is not inferiority, but it's a divine design in roles in home and in the church. All right, so that's wives. Husbands. What is a husband? A husband is basically, you know, besides being the male, husband is the provider. He's the stronger one. He's the protector. He's the head of the house. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the man, the head of the house, has a lot of responsibility to deal with. What does a husband do? And in verse 19, it goes on and says, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, the kind of love that we see here that is talked about when it says love your wives is agape love. And this is the continuing, unconditional covenant love that we see from Christ, you know, between Christ and the church. It doesn't always have to be mushy, but what it is, it's love from beginning to end, okay? It's you being faithful to your wife. And no matter how she treats you, no matter how she acts, you're going to be faithful to her. This is not an ending love. This is a continuing love. And we see that in the new covenant that, you know, God will always be our God and we will always be his people. There's a continuing, never-ending love there. And God does love us. You can see the way that he allows us to approach him. And even, you know, going back to the topic of wives, when you see, you know, Jesus had no problem with women being in his presence. You know, Jesus refers to, you know, at least in one instance, a daughter of Abraham. And that's something that you won't find very often, at least according to one of the sources I read, in all the rabbinic literature. They talk about sons of Abraham all day long, but they leave out the daughters of Abraham. And Jesus is very particular about women being the daughters of Abraham just as much as a man is a son of Abraham. So Jesus loves women. Jesus wants us to see the Proverbs 31 definition of women. That's what he wants us to see. He wants us to see all the different ways that we're supposed to be treating them. And like it says in verse 19, it says, don't be harsh with them, or don't be embittered towards them is actually the more literal term. We're supposed to be treating them with a continuing agape kind of love, that covenant love. You know, we are his covenant people. He will never stop loving us, and we are to never to stop loving our own wives. And that is what, you know, primarily what our first responsibility is as the husband. You know, besides being the one who can provide, besides being the one who may be physically stronger, whatever that is, we are to continue in love to our wives. And it means a bunch of different things for us as husbands. So the question I would want to ask all of us husbands anyway, how should a husband love? The first thing we need to do is to understand. And the first thing we need to understand, what do the scriptures say about our wives? Proverbs 18:22 says this, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. If you're married tonight, no matter what you've been through in your marriage, you have found a good thing. You have favor from the Lord. You have received blessing upon blessing upon blessing, because really when it comes down to it, I'm glad I'm a man because I get to have my wife. God made women so much different. To me, it's like they got the short end of the stick, if you want to put it like that. They have to deal with all of our, you know, gross things that we do, all the different things that we may, all the different viewpoints that we have that are different. You know, they're caring, they're compassionate, they're loving, they're patient, all of these different things. And we're almost just like cavemen some of the times, or the different ways that we want to do things. But they love us. And we definitely got the better end of the deal, as far as I'm concerned. So, He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And then Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19, it says this, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. And then in verse 19, it continues to say, and be intoxicated always in her love. Now, understanding these scriptures and hearing them, if we're married, how do we see her? How do I see my wife? How do you guys see your wives? Do you see her as lovely? Do you see her as graceful? Do you see her as a completely different thing that God designed to make us whole? Back in Genesis, it refers as a suitable helper. That's why a man is not suitable for another man, and a woman is not suitable for another woman. God designed a woman to be with a man, and a man to be with a woman. So, do we see our wives as lovely? Do we see them as graceful? And I think that's such a great picture, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. And when you think about, animals, there is something graceful. You see the way that they run. You see the way that they jump. You see the way that they do things. It's, completely different from like a bear or a lion or something like that. You see the grace involved in this picture here. And we need to make sure we're seeing them as that. Here's a question for us as well. Are we faithful to them? So, because if we go back to the definition of the covenant, never-ending agape love that we're supposed to have, because that's the love that Jesus has for us, then how are we towards them? Are we faithful to them? What about physically? We're not supposed to commit adultery. Are we physically faithful to them? What about emotionally? Do you share, husbands, I'm asking the question to husbands, do you share your emotional issues with other women outside of your wife? There may be some things that, may flare up or whatever, and you may have a very opinionated thought about some kind of a political issue and some other woman is hearing about it. That's fine. I'm not talking about something like that. But the thing that I'm talking about mostly is sometimes when a husband is struggling with his wife, the husband is going to go talk about those issues to another woman. And that's not right. That's not anything that we're supposed to be doing. The first thing obviously we're supposed to do is our emotions, we first present them to the Lord. And then second, we go to the woman that he has given to us as our wife. So are we faithful to her physically? Are we faithful to her emotionally? What about mentally? All the different things going on in our minds, are we faithful to her? Now I know that men struggle. I know that I struggle. The things that I may see, it'll stick in my mind forever. There's some things that are never going to leave my mind, I'm sure. But what are we doing to put an end to it? What are we doing to curb it? Are we just watching any TV program that may come up that may pump all these images into my mind that I may not forget about it? Or am I going out on purpose seeking things on the computer? Am I watching TV shows on purpose seeking things to see? There's just so much stuff out there. And if we're not guarding against it, because some things we're just going to see, and we'd have to just be sleeping until the day we die to not struggle with this as a man. And I think that's just a straight to the point, honest statement. But what are we doing to curb it? What are we doing to have that mental faithfulness? And what are we doing to keep that agape kind of love towards our wife, that covenant love? That, because that's what we did. When I married my wife, I made a covenant with her to love her until I die or until she dies. Now, the covenant of marriage is broken on death, but I am bound to her until the day I die. So I have to think about these things physically, emotionally, mentally. Am I faithful to my wife? And are you faithful to your wives? What about this? Are we tender with our wives? Do we embrace them as the weaker vessel? And again, that's not an inferiority kind of a statement. Men are stronger. They're built that way. We're not supposed to treat women as you would another man. I try to tell Nate all the time, I know it's difficult for children sometimes when they're wrestling around and playing and stuff like that, but I don't want to see him throwing around a girl the same way he would throw around my nephew, his cousin Sean. I don't want that to happen. I want him to understand that he needs to treat every single girl as though she's a princess, and then one day he's going to have, a woman that he can treat as a queen. How do we treat them physically? God has made them completely different. Well, what about tender as far as emotions? Do we deal tenderly with her emotions? Do we care about her thoughts? Do we care about the things that she likes? Do we try to listen when she speaks? All these different things. Are we tender with our wives? Here's another one. Do they feel safe with us? I think that's a big one. If your wife feels secure with you, that's going to go a long way. So Do they feel safe with us? Do we treat them with dignity the same way that Proverbs 31 talks about them and describes them? Are we proud for them to be in our presence? Like when we take them out somewhere or we go somewhere with them, are we proud to have them right next to us? Or do we walk three steps ahead of them all the time and tell them to stay behind us? Are we proud to have them in our presence? How do we speak about them in the presence of friends or other relatives or anything like that? I hear this kind of stuff all the time and it makes me sick. I hear other men talk about their wives in such ways that it's like I just want to punch them in the face. I mean, it's like, I'm not trying to treat this lightly, but that's just how it goes. And I try to make sure that when I speak, that I'm not being unfaithful to her emotions. I'm not being unfaithful to the things that she, you know, the kinds of things that should just be between me and her and shouldn't be between me and someone else. Do our friends know how much we love them? If we speak about them, do we speak highly of them? Or do they think your wife is a nuisance? That's a good question to ask. Do we admire their wisdom? What do we say about them in front of others, whether they are there or not? And do they see us, and this may be the most important one as far as leadership goes, do they see us pursue Christ? Now, there's two words here that are important, because earlier, when it, you know, in verse 18, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. And then it says, husbands, love your wives. A lot of times, the husbands, they grasp onto the whole idea of submit. You know, and I've heard people joke around about it. And maybe I have as well. I don't know. I don't remember if I have. But we like to focus on the right that our wives are supposed to submit to us. But do we focus on the responsibility that we have that comes with it? You know, when I took this... the job that I have now, and this is going on a year and a half now, the job that I have, you know, it's my first supervisor job. It's easy to say, oh, I want to be the boss. That sounds cool. What about all the responsibilities that come with it? When you have people that are under you who report to you, you don't just go there and just boss them around. Besides, that's not even the kind of leadership that Jesus wants us to have. Jesus came and he provided an example of servant leadership. He didn't come around to earth to just throw his weight around. He could have done it. He didn't do it like that. And he even says, like, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And you even see when he goes around and washes the feet of his disciples, he could have just sat back and had every single one of his disciples wash his feet. He didn't do it like that. That's not the way he planned it. And that's not the kind of leadership that we're supposed to have as well. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read 25 through 33. I already read the section as far as the the wives go. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is that what we're doing? Are we giving ourselves up for our wives? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, summary statement, more or less, for the wife, for the husband. But the husband, do you treat your wife, and do I treat my wife? Do I love her the same way I love my own body? And I know that I fail at that sometimes. I know that, you know, it's easy sometimes to do what I want, or for her to do what I want. But if I'm thinking of her emotions, if I'm sacrificing myself for her, and if you guys are sacrificing yourselves for your wives, then the whole thing of submission becomes real easy. And I'm convinced of that. Because they see you pursuing Christ. They see you trying to love them with as much strength and energy as you have. So they're going to say, okay, look, he loves Jesus. He's going based on the scriptures. What do the scriptures say to me? The scriptures say to me, I need to submit to him and to respect him. So based on what he's doing, that's what I'm going to do. So, and it's never our job to say to them, look, you need to submit. as much as the scriptures may say that, which they do, we need to focus on what our responsibilities are. The wives need to focus on what their responsibilities are. And, you know, I think maybe a friendly reminder here and there, but if you remind her, she has just as much right to remind you of what the scriptures have to say as well. So just keep that in mind. And the whole thing with rights versus responsibility, it's easy to say, hey, woman, I've got authority over you. Don't say that. But are you engaging in the responsibilities that you have? Am I engaging in the responsibilities that I have as a husband to love her well? And what about the example that I would provide for my son and for our daughters? Do they see me and say, I hope I can marry someone like Daddy? And man, that would tickle me pink if that happened one day. And that's something that, you know, I can try to strive for. But and my son also, does he, you know, want to be a husband and a father like me? And I told Megan this earlier, that I wasn't even sure if I should preach on this verse because I've only been married for 7 years. I thought about telling Russ, like, maybe I should skip this or something, you know, but I know that I've got a lot to learn, and there's plenty of husbands in here that I can learn from. I wish I could say the same thing, you know, about my own dad, but I can't. So this is something that will carry on as the years go. If you are a good husband and a good father, there's a good chance your son will also be a good husband and a good father, and that your daughters will go after a man like you. It's a very serious thing, and it's a sobering responsibility to think about me having to not only lead my wife, but also my children. Because I'm the head of the home, so who is Jesus going to look to first? You know, if there's a question about how my house is going, it's like, look, you're the one that's in charge of this. You better get your stuff in order. So, and that's, you know, that's the way that he sees it. So in conclusion, you know, application, you know, wives, obey the scriptures, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives so that it makes it real easy for her to submit and to do the things that she's supposed to do. And again, you have to see her as a daughter of God and not just an inferior object for your own desires, because that's not the way it is. If you have a hard time remembering the way you should treat your wife, you know, read Proverbs 31 first to see the dignity in which you should treat her with. And then the love that Jesus has for his church is the way that we're supposed to love our wives. Let's pray together.